call the Senate Environmental Natural Resource Finance Committee to order. It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. Members, we have three bills today. We're going to start out. And again, they're going to be laid over except for the wetland bank. Senate file 3751 has to go to finance and, as quick as we possibly can. So, Senator Newman, you were just here. There you are. Senate file 2579. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Senate file 2579 came to me by way of a constituent request from Ellsworth Township in Meeker County, which is in my district. And the request is to set up a grant program through the DNR to maintain ditches that otherwise have no source of funding to maintain. The purpose of it is to ensure water quality and upkeep on these ditches as they affect the lakes and watershed in the Meeker County area. I have with me Mr. Dave Utes, who is a Ellsworth Township supervisor, as I understand it. And I think that he would be able, Mr. Chairman, to fill you in a little better on the background on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Utes, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairman and committee members, for letting us testify on this. I'm a supervisor in Ellsworth Township, so I've been working on this project for quite some time. Actually, most of these waterways are not under the ditch appropriation money, so there's no way to clean them. And we've talked to the DNR, we talked to Soil and Water Conservation, we work with the Corps of Engineers, and most of these waterways are at the end of large watersheds, and most of these are probably run through maybe one or two properties. And actually the people that own these properties where these waterways run through have little or no benefit of cleaning them, and the responsibility is supposed to be theirs. But in order to get those cleaned, we've worked with the Minnesota Association of Townships, and it's, as a township, we're not able to use taxpayer money to clean these ditches or waterways. So we're looking for some kind of funding that would help us, that if we exhaust all our other resources, that we have some way of cleaning these. And I'm just going to take a look at my notes here so I don't. So the biggest thing is that if we want to clean these ditches, we've checked with different sources in Minnesota here, we would have to sue the maybe one or two landowners, which usually are retired farmers or widows that own this land, which rented out. And since there's little or no impact to them on cleaning them, we would have to sue them and go through litigation to get these ditches cleaned. And you know, they're taxpayers and part of our township, so it's not really our benefit to try and sue those people to get them cleaned. So it'd be nice if we had funding for that. And most of these ditches haven't been maintained for 60 to 100 years. We have one right now that I was told hasn't been anything done with for 100 years, and the one we were working on was 60. So it's pretty important for us to find a way to get funding to clean these. And part of the thing that I would like to see is that if we do come up with this bill, that a township or a county would have to submit a program that they have exhausted all their resources before they apply for this grant, which I think is a good idea. And then after these ditches are cleaned, I've talked to different counties, and there's a way of turning this ditch over to the County Ditch Association so that they can maintain these ditches, and then they do a watershed program, and then everybody on this watershed would help pay for the maintenance after the ditch has been cleaned. And that's a procedure we can go through after the ditches are finally cleaned. And then from then on, we don't have to worry about the maintenance anymore, because the county or counties that are involved in this ditch will maintain the ditch after that. So I think that's a real important part of it. I was just looking at if you guys have any questions. I do have some photos here of damage that is being caused by the high water, and I can pass them to you. You can take a look at them. They're quite graphic.
We'll hand them out to you.
Okay, I have them here. And I don't have enough for everybody, but and I would probably like to have them back if I can.
Sure, we can get somebody to make copies too here.
Okay, and then I also have, we did on one of our waterways, we did a water surface profile with an airplane, and they have like a sonar type thing. And so they fly over the waterway, and they can tell, and I can have a copy of this made too. They can tell how much sediment is in the waterway. And we have found that we have sometimes from 10 to 24 inches of sediment in the waterways. So that's why our water is backing up and we're losing shorelines. People that have lake cabins are losing their shorelines. They have to call in rock and riprap their shorelines. And the farmers are having a terrible time working the edges of their fields and stuff because of the high water mark. So, and then here's some pictures. These next three pictures are pictures of actual waterways, aerial photos of waterways that are plugged. And you can take a look at those also. Other than that, I guess I don't know if there's
one. If I could, this one looks to be awful big here. There's a huge bank here. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, those banks are caving in. Those banks are caving in from the high water, from the shore, from the water action. And because the one I passed out here is one I've been working on for a couple of years. Yeah. And that one, we actually have about 3,000 acres of water and wetlands that are involved in this system. And the big chart that's coming, the aerial chart with the blue lines and red lines on it, shows how plugged this system is. And in order to mitigate this, we had to actually dig out a pipe, a township pipe, and we dug a ditch and we left this ditch open. We had to reroute the road, leave the ditch open for over a year to bring down the water level, because we were like 16 inches over normal high water mark, and it took over a year to drain that. But it still didn't drain completely because in the photos, the waterway is plugged. It's plugged with 24 inches of debris. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, this aerial one is really quite clear as to.
Yeah. And if you look at that, it looks like we have a real lot of fall there. The blue lines, the checkered, the up and down blue lines show that it looks like there's a lot of fall from the lake to the next lake. But actually, there's only tenths of fall there. But that's an example of what we're dealing with. And we've got, I think that there's many townships and counties that are dealing with the same problem we are throughout the central Minnesota.
So I guess my question would be, you have a township association. Do you belong to that?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and have they been involved in any?
Yes, I have called them many times. And actually, the one you're looking at now is two townships are involved. And originally, we were going to pay for the ditch cleaning ourselves. So the other township wrote us out a check for $7,000. And we were going to do a joint effort. And before we did any of this, I called the Association of Townships. And they said that townships cannot get involved in draining public waters with taxpayer money. The only way we can do that is if it's affecting our roads, township property, or would be affecting our town hall. Then we have the permission to mitigate public water. But other than that, we cannot use taxpayer dollars to mitigate public water.
Okay. Members, do you have questions of the testifier? Senator Dibble.
No, Mr. I don't have a question of the testifier. Just wanted to make a couple comments and observations if that's appropriate at this time.
Yes, it is. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Senator Newman. Thank you for the bill. I think it's great. I appreciated the photos. You know, we're pretty familiar with this issue of ditches and erosion comes up a lot in especially of late with a lot of the kind of the flooding events with climate change that has occurred. I appreciate also as well that, you know, controlling lake water levels and wetlands, et cetera, is a part of the narrative, the discussion, the eligible use of these funds. But it begs, of course, the larger conversation that we continue to have about, you know, in the Large Sam's Outdoor Heritage Commission and a lot of different places about how we're gonna ultimately manage water on the land. Because we know that when we slough water off the land as quickly as we do, and it's just gonna get worse and worse through ditching systems, it's gonna cause the kinds of soil erosion, which has of course a consequence for ag interests, but also our water quality issues and our ability to maintain good soil on the land and the like. So I would just invite us all to have kind of a larger, more comprehensive conversation about as we adapt to climate change, how we're gonna do more stormwater retention, detention on the land, avoid that overland flooding, the ditch erosion issues, the water quality issues. We see Lasard Sams has always got these wonderful pictures of proposals of, you know, streams that have been straightened out here and here, and then restoring the meander through this farm field. So a lot more of that would be fantastic. Thank you, Mr.
Well, even at one time, they straightened out those meandering ones. Now we're back to meandering again because the water goes too fast.
Yeah,
they did. Red River Basin, I know they straightened out a river because they wanted to get rid of the water quicker.
Well, right.
So now we're going full circle. So you're right. There's a lot of, well, water issues all over the state of Minnesota.
So, Mr. President, if I could indulge for one more second. It's a huge issue actually in Minneapolis. Folks might have seen that my former boss, city council member, Doria Mead, passed away a week or two ago. She was on the city council for a number of years. And one of her big claims to fame was restoring all of the lowland wetlands that we had built houses in all over Minneapolis, which it came to light about 20 years ago now. There were a ton of stormwater events. Everyone's houses were flooded out beyond all reason, like 6 or 7 times. And it occurred to everyone simultaneously, not only is our ability to manage stormwater on its way to the wetlands inadequate in Minneapolis, but then we had to basically restore these stormwater detention ponds, which had been the wetlands, which at one time post-World War II had a lot of housing pressure. So they just stuck houses wherever they could. They put them where they shouldn't have. So these stormwater, storm management water issues are not just a ag rural issue. They occur right in the heart of the city too.
Thank you. Any further questions? The DNR is involved in this particular bill. Do they want to weigh in at all? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Kruger, are you up? Are you here too?
Yes.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead, please. Okay. Identify yourself and go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Krieger. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Association of Townships. I just lost my screen. I apologize. I'd like to thank Senator Newman for bringing this bill forward. Townships are an integral part of the surface water management throughout the state. as surface water enters and flows through the ditches along and around the 55,000 miles of township roads. These road ditches are not part of the state system and are maintained locally. Water management has become an increasingly important and demanding part of township government over the years, as landowners install more tile and more water mitigation infrastructure. Matt asked for your support for SF, or Senate File 2579, as it provides funding to townships to manage surface waters within their ditches. It may also allow some towns to complete projects that would otherwise be held up for lack of funding to address the water management issues related to our town road maintenance plan. Thank you for your attention to, this issue and including townships in the eligible grant recipients list. Thank you.
Can you tell me how many, I'm sure you can't even come up with that number, how many townships that are having this issue?
I have no idea.
No concept as to how that long that is. Okay.
Unfortunately, no.
All right. The DNR was going to testify. I'm sorry. Are they online? Oh, online. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Who do we have? Oh, yeah.
Randall Doney from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I said Randall Doneen. I work in the Division of Ecological and Water Resources within the DNR. I am a section manager for the Conservation Assistance and Regulation section. A couple things just wanted to bring to the committee's attention with this bill. I mean, the first thing to point out is we don't have an existing grant program for this type of activity. All of our grants are usually associated with a specific program, whether it's flood damage reduction, dam safety, or shoreline, something like that. So we need to develop, if this goes through, we need to develop a grant program. So keep that in mind. And the other thing, just a cautionary warning, these individual projects, if they have a substantial effect on the public water, that can be a challenge sometimes for us to permit them under the water law. And so, it's really important that before any of these proposals come forward, they have some early coordination with the DNR to kind of talk through what the issue is and what is allowable under the law. Because we wouldn't want a bunch of people expending a lot of energy on putting a proposal together when in the end it's not something that we would be able to authorize. I mean, vegetation removal or small cleanouts can probably be done. But if we're really draining one basin and that's going to be going down another, we need to consider the whole system and the impacts that might occur as part of that. And we'll have to do that as part of a review of any of these. But just, it's more of a buyer beware issue, just to warn people that not all of these projects, these cleanouts, will be able to be authorized depending on how big of an impact it is to the public water.
Okay. Members, any questions? Okay, maybe I may make a suggestion and then we'll move on here, that the DNR work together with the township, and I don't know if you have or not.
I have one comment on that.
Sure, go ahead.
On the situation of, and every one of these I've worked with Soil and Water Conservation, I've worked with the DNR, we have worked with the Corps of Engineers, and the project that you saw that I passed out the literature on, the DNR, Gary Bennett out of Hutchinson, Minnesota, we worked together with everybody on that one, and they did give us a permit to clean 2,700 feet of that waterway, but because of a non-funding issue, we were never able to do that, so that permit is, the Corps of Engineers, everybody was involved in that, and we understand what he's talking about. Okay. We're not trying to drain anything. We want to keep our lakes at the high water level mark that they're supposed to be at. So we're not trying to drain. And we've been working, I've worked with all the DNR, Corps of Engineers, U.S. Soil and U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Everyone is involved every time. Good. And we've had everybody out and all the permits are taken care of. When we put new pipes in all of our township roads, the DNR is always involved to make sure that the pipe goes in at the right level, because most of those pipes control waterways and that maintains the lake levels.
Yeah.
So whatever height those pipes are put in is what the lake is going to be.
Sure.
So we're very aware.
Yeah, it seems like it's a statewide issue, though.
Even
in the city, you know, as Senator Dibble said, some of those things should be looked at as well. So if there's no further questions, Senator Newman, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to respond to your comment, as far as with the association, we are more than willing to talk with the DNR at an association level.
Sure.
And to have that.
I would certainly suggest that if you're going to run into a roadblock otherwise, and see if we can get those avenues opened up.
Yes.
Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, members, and just thank you for hearing the bill. It's going to be, as Senator Dibble indicated, an increasingly important and difficult question to take care of surface water. So just thank you for hearing the bill. And I assume you're going to lay the bill over, Mr. Chairman.
That's right. Senate file number 2579 will be laid over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And members, I'll just share from here. I've got a couple of bills here. I'll introduce it from the chair's position here real quickly. Off-highway motorcycle and off-road. If the testifiers would like to come forward. Senate file 3761. The ambassador program. This is something that's been certainly around for some time, I believe, or at least talked about. The legislation extends the ATV ambassador program in the DNR and the off-highway motorcycles, dirt bikes, and 4x4 road vehicles, Jeeps, and so on. The appropriation is for $40,000 for the year 2022, as well as the same for 2023. I think I do have an amendment. Members, if you'd look in your packet, you do have an amendment, an A1 amendment. And I would just like to offer that right now. Maybe I'll have what I'll do is I'll have Mr. Larson here describe possibly the amendment, or have legal. I guess maybe I'll do that. I'll have legal go ahead and do that, Mr. Stanley.
Mr. Chair, members, good morning. The A1 amendment makes a couple of changes. It deletes the fiscal year 2022 appropriation. So as amended, there would only be the $40,000 in the fiscal year 23 amendment, fiscal year remaining. And then it also sets aside $4,000 for each of the grant amounts for administrative costs.
Okay. Members, any questions? Okay, we have three testifiers. Two? Oh, I'm sorry, I should adopt the amendment. That's right. I move the A1 amendment to Senate file 3761. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted. Mr. Larson.
Mr. Chair, good.
Okay.
We have Mr. Umphress go first.
Mr. Chair and committee, I'm Tom Umphress. I'm here representing the Amateur Riders Motorcycle Association.
Okay.
We are the statewide association that kind of monitors and keeps up on our funding and our legislation, and works with, sure. As you guys probably know, Ray Bowen works with us or for us, and Mr. Hackbarth there as well. So we are here in support of the Senate file 3761 as amended by the A1 amendment. We've been involved since this ambassador program was created. I believe it was back in 2007. So if you had actually looked at that enabling legislation, it was inclusive of all the user groups, but the funding had ended up only being from the ATV program. So now we want to support adding funding from the off-highway motorcycle program and then ORVs as well. So basically we're here in support of it, and thank you for authoring.
Maybe you would give a short description of what exactly it is.
Okay, yeah.
For the members.
So the ambassador program was a program created by the user community to help put a presence out on the ground, expand training opportunities for people, appropriate use, sharing where they can go, maps, all that type of stuff. So we created that program a long time ago, and users volunteer to be these ambassadors out there, and they can get expenses and stuff covered. So that's where this money gets used. And then since we want to have off-highway motorcycles be participating in that program, we don't want to be drawing funds from the ATV account to do that. We'll put in funds from the off-highway motorcycle account. And then we're working with enforcement on the steps of certifying the people to be ambassadors and stuff.
And I understand they'll be somewhat of an identified by uniform and things like that.
Yeah, so the way the program works today, they have a like a vest, a yellow vest, safety vest that has a DNR issued patch, and I think they have an ID card and such as well. And they do have to go and be certified or go through a training program with the Division of Enforcement from the DNR. So it's not anybody can just sign up and go do this. They have to be approved as an ambassador. Good.
Anybody else? Mr. Larson?
Mr. Chair, members, Dan Larson, Minnesota Four Wheel Drive Association. We appreciate Senator Ingebrigtsen's leadership in sponsoring the bill, Senator Rood and Senator Eichhorn for co-sponsoring. I told you yesterday on the Senator Box bill, Minnesota Four Wheel Drive Association is you're going to be seeing more of us. And so this, we certainly support this bill as amended. And the reason, as Mr. Humphreys said, ATVs have been funding the ambassador program up until this point. The reason that Minnesota Four Wheel Drive and the off-road vehicle account has not been tapped for an ambassador program is simply because we don't have the trail miles yet for this purpose. And so this is an exciting time for us. We've looked forward to being able to testify in a, on a bill like this to say we're ready. The off-road vehicle touring and trail systems, I laid it out yesterday. We've got a few high profile touring route and trail systems that are going to come online this summer. We're already using the border to border touring route. It's not official yet, but that's Silver Bay to the Canadian border at North Dakota with Pembina, bisecting the top third of the state. And that's the backbone of the program. And we're going to be working because of this master plan that's going to come online in June. We're going to be working with the local governments on the committee and have a basis for making those approach, have a formal process. So we're doing the things we need to do correctly. And we're happy to be here today in support of this funding and getting trails on the ground and actually having the need for a trail ambassador program again, because in the communities that we work with communities that welcome us in, and we build deep, mutually beneficial relationships. And this is going to help us because you want to know that you have another set of eyes and ears on those trail systems and touring routes, so that if something happens locally, the locals have a person to contact, and it's a one-stop shop. But we appreciate it. Thank you, Senator, for bringing it forward. Minnesota Four Wheel Drive Association supports.
Thank you. Any further questions of the testifiers, members? We all hear about the trails, you know, and all the senators have talked about it at different times. And I think actually Senator Dimble brought it up the other day. If you don't have trails, they're going to make their trails. And we know the kind of damage that can be done. I have two or three of them myself, and just what those tires can do to any vehicle that doesn't have a trail. So having that other set of eyes out there is certainly going to be great, I think. So,
well, Mr. Chair,
yeah,
our message to this committee and members of the state is that if you don't already have a Jeep or a Range Rover, you should get one. This is going to be a great system.
Okay. Well, you're promising us that, so we're holding your feet to the fire on that.
Well, we've worked before on things like this, so, and it worked out the way we said.
All right. Seeing no further questions, we'll lay Senate File 3761 as amended over. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next bill is the straightforward road wetland replacement program. Members, you've been here a while, you see this bill all the time. If the testifiers would come forward, those that want to testify. I do have an Anoka County engineer, maybe they're here, but the bill provides one-time $10 million general fund appropriation, which is an obligation the state of Minnesota's had for many years. And what it does is make sure that the agencies has enough wetland credits in the bank to satisfy local road and wetland impacts during the construction season. The state assumed responsibility, as I talked about earlier, for mitigating local wetland impacts as a condition of the Wetland Conservation Act reform back in 1996. But funding the program has never been put into the Bowser base. So for whatever reason, this has become a, I guess you can adjourn.